In Syria itself, the conflict grinds on. Rebel groups are still fighting the regime of President Bashar al-Assad. They also keep fighting among themselves, as the more moderate opposition groups do battle against extremist Islamist rebels. For Christians living in areas controlled by the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, also known as the ISIS, life is becoming increasingly hard. In the northern city of Raqqa, Christians have been told they must pay a yearly tax to the extremist group for their own safety. Nadim Nasser is a Syrian Christian pastor who now lives in London, but he's closely following the plight of Christians in Syria.
In the West, not many people know that Syria is the birthplace of Christianity, where Jesus Christ was born and grew up. Even in the present time, they tell me or they ask me, "Father, when did you become Christian?" As if I was Muslim and became Christian. My family goes back to St. Paul. On the road to Damascus, St. Paul became a Christian, and that Damascus is the same Damascus that is the capital of Syria today, where the Christians are persecuted. We lived with Muslims and other minorities in Syria for centuries, and the secret is coexistence. And now we are being persecuted only for being Christians. The situation in Raqqa is awful.
So what the Christians in Syria are facing right now is heavily loaded with history. So tell us, in the city of Raqqa, what are they facing? What are the big threats?
The big threat is not only in the city of Raqqa, but the whole Syria is mainly those thousands of jihadists, the Islamist extremists, flooded into Syria from all over the world to fight, to bring the Islamic State they dream about to Syria. 90% of the jihadists in Syria are foreigners. Imagine the minorities in Syria, which are part of the social fabric of the society, are asked either to pay a levy, a tax, Islamic tax, for their protection, or become Muslims, or get killed.
Right. When you say foreigners, we're talking here, and I read this, that this was an ultimatum presented by the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or
yes.
ISIS, on ISIS. These Christians. So this is, in fact, the ultimatum that they presented. So how are the Christians reacting to that?
Well, there are very, very few choices here. So the church leaders are saying we pay because we don't want to convert to Islam and we don't want to be killed.
Do the church leaders see this as just extortion?
Well, yes. We all hope that it is temporary until the whole conflict comes to an end. But you know something, Marco? What also the West turns the blind eye on is to look at the conflict in its essence. What is this politics that allows the West to turn the blind eye to the existence of Al-Qaeda and its groups in Syria? When they, the Western countries, label these groups as terrorist groups in other lands, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Pakistan, in Europe, even in America. So why did the West allow the Syrian opposition to make this alliance with those groups to fight the regime? The alliance is wrong.
President Bashar al-Assad's forces have tried, apparently, to protect Christians through this conflict. Where is that protection now?
The regime protects itself, Marco. The regime uses Christians as a political card, as the opposition uses the minorities and Christians as a political card. Nobody cares about the existence of Christianity in Syria. They care about their own power. The conflict in Syria is a proxy war. The proxy war is between external powers fighting in Syria. Nobody has any interest to protect the Christians. They protect themselves and they use the cards to play their political games.
So you're saying Bashar al-Assad's protection of Christians is a myth?
There is no protection. Bashar al-Assad wants to protect himself. We are between two fires. One fire is the regime, which is a dictatorship. And the other fire is a fragmented, lost opposition. They don't know where to start building the country.
Reverend, you said in other interviews that dialogue is never too late in conflicts. Do you still have hope, though, for a negotiated solution in Syria?
It's a good question. What happened in Geneva was historical. regardless of the results of Geneva II. Never in the modern life of Syria, people from different parties, the different political persuasions, could sit around a table and talk. So we need to acknowledge that. And then we need to build on that. And yes, dialogue is never too late. And this is the only way that the Syrian conflict could be resolved, because no one has the advantage militarily.
In recent weeks, the spotlight has shifted away from Syria over to the crisis in Ukraine. It's not the first time that the fighting in Syria has slipped out of view. But right now, with the possibility of Russia's role diminishing in Syria, does that worry you?
The Russian role in Syria will not diminish.
You don't think
maybe
so?
Maybe there is no emphasis on the situation in Syria due to the media, because the media follows what is new. Russia's interest is still in Syria. They have a base at the Mediterranean Sea. So Russia, Iran, the powers that are supporting Assad regime are going to continue supporting him.
Reverend Nadim Nasser is a Syrian Anglican priest now living in London. He's also one of the founding directors of the Awareness Foundation. Reverend Nasser, thank you very much for your thoughts.
Thank you very much.